Literally fell out. Don't drop out on me again. We're live on Radio 3. Are you all right there? Have you plugged in?
Yeah, we're back.
Have you strapped
Happy
in?
Happy Tuesday.
Super duper. You've always complained about Aussie Wi-Fi, so let's blame that, shall we?
Oh, whatever. Something happened. But never mind, we're back. That's the most important thing.
Good on you. I saw a really cool article on Morris's blog page. It's morrisfuturist.com, and it's entitled, "The Biggest Shift at Google I.O. 2025 Wasn't What You Saw, It's What You'll Now Stop Doing." And I thought, must talk about that. You better talk about the keynote, for starters, if you would.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did. So Google, you know, that company that most people are aware of, whose search engine we seem to use for the last 15 years, or the domain of all information, and that's an important intro, have made some significant comments in their last conference they had about 10 days ago now. This is like Apple, like all the rest of them. They tend to have two or three a year, each one of these different brands. Mm. And at those two or three each year, they make huge announcements. One is about software usually, one is about hardware, and the third is for new products and whatever else, if they want that. This one was about new software. So this was Google talking about the software that they are going to introduce, have introduced, and what it will do for us. And as the title of the article said, as I began to hear it and to read more about it, what I realized was that it really wasn't about what they were saying. It was about the incredible shift that's going to become because of it.
This is a big one, is it, Morris? I mean, you're not
I think it is
this.
Under the hood.
Yeah, okay.
I think it is under the hood, and that's all that it is. One of those things that we'll look back on in a few years' time and say, that most probably is when that happened. Why I think it's huge is this, that now when you and I want information, or anybody that's listening, we actually talk about Google. It doesn't matter whether we're going to a Google search engine or not, because what we want to do is type in a couple of words and for it to give us all sorts of possibilities of where we might find information about that and links and clicks. And for those that have been looking at their Google responses over the last 6 months or so, it's been doing less and less of that, because what it does at the very top is to give you AI. It gives you Googlelicious. Not here are the 50 companies or here's Morris, here's Phil. Mm-hmm. It actually gives you an explanation of what that thing is and gives you direct contact with it one way or another. So it's actually stopping you now from doing the search, and it says this is all you need to know, unless you're really desperate, in which case go below. Mm-hmm. And invariably what the research is showing, of course, is many, many people don't go below. They just take that piece of information that Google's given them now as being everything they need to know about a topic or where to find something.
Well, the up top now, I'm sure everybody's noticed from the past 2 weeks, is the, what is it, the something-something AI answer, basically. And that got me thinking, Morris, because people often still doubt sometimes AI's answers. And I'm thinking, Google, you're brave to do this.
Well, Google's brave. It's been done before. So lots of search engines have been pushing this way. But of course, when Google does it, it becomes default, because most people have it on as default. So Microsoft Explorer, I mean, all of those are doing it too. Mm. But the fact that we do Google a lot, and one of the things they talked about, and Google has said it outright for the last 5 years or more, for those that were listening, they did say that there was a day that they could see in the very near future where they would no longer be a search engine. That didn't mean they wouldn't be relevant, didn't mean they wouldn't be important. Just the search engine part of what we do just wouldn't matter as much anymore. And I think the day came 10 days ago when they made this announcement to say that all of their Googlelicious materials, and we can go through quite a few of them if you like, but all the Googlelicious bits and pieces that we use now have this AI-first approach.
So when they say search engine, are they talking techie, actually the under-the-hood stuff that defines a search engine as we know?
Well, search engine has become the generic term for looking for something.
Yeah.
It's just become the way we talk about it now. And what they've said is that this thing will now use artificial intelligence to surface things for you, to find things for you, to let you know about things and to do things. This was what was really baked under the hood. It actually said outright that it would also do things in advance of you needing them or even thinking you might want them.
Right.
And if we think that's sinister, again, I always bring you back to the example of if we use Waze or we use Google Maps in the car, it's doing the same thing. When you've asked it to take you somewhere and you've given it directions and you're listening to it, it's actually going out there every split second and saying, is the road okay? Is it congested? Is there this? And it's changing and nudging the way that you drive without you asking for it. But this is going to happen in real time now in our search engines, to use that term, or whatever else we're using.
Is this what you mean by it's what you'll now stop doing in your title?
Yeah. Yeah, because you won't as often flick down. Now, for many of us, or perhaps going back 6 months or more, when we got you know, when we ask for find me a futurist and you got me but you also got 15 other people, most people, me included, would have keep scrolling down. You know, here's one, here's another one, let's click on that, let's click on that. Let's be a bit adventurous and see what else there is. And what this is doing, it's stopping most people, it's stopping the scrollers, it's called, it's stopping most people going below and saying, well, Google seems to know, we seem to think that's okay because it's giving me not just a click, but it's actually giving me some information. That's enough for me, I'm happy with that.
Are they redefining what we call cookies by any chance?
Well, they are, and it's changing. It's changing the industry, and I've spoken to some SEO people and others over the past couple of weeks about all sorts of bits and bobs.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure they're aware of how significant the changes are. A lot of business today that has an online presence, is actively fanning it, are using SEO, search engine optimization, which means there's a formula, which it's not an exact science, but there's a formula, there's a way to kind of push your information in front of people. So it gets a little bit further ahead of the queue. Mm. And there are lots of businesses around the world that support that, that help people to get ahead of the queue, and lots of businesses that actually have baked into their websites and their materials all these little bits and pieces inside of it that help them get there. They're no longer going to be as necessary as they once were because there is no top of the queue anymore. It's now about information. It's not about how clever you are in planting keywords in. And it's also not about – that was based primarily on you and I, humans, doing searches. So, you know, the word that was searched the most, the phrase that was searched the most, was kind of what surfaced the information to the top of the queue.
Mm.
Artificial intelligence doesn't really care about what you typed because it looks at a much, much broader landscape and it says across all everything, this is the most likely thing that these humans want to know, and it pushes that to the front. So it's now not human intervention, it's now artificial intelligence intervention.
Almost makes
and
sense.
That's a really big change in the way that we will see things from now on.
If you want more detail on this, of course, as always, it's on a very fairly lengthy blog piece, morrisfuturist.com. Now, one of the titles is What Did They Announce at I.O. 2025? And, I mean, you've pre-seed this. It's all AI, basically.
Well, it is.
Go
and
through them.
It's really where everyone's going. I think that if you didn't have AI in the title, it really didn't matter what it was.
It is,
if you didn't have AI in the title, you'd be seen to be behind the scenes. You know,
you'd
be behind the times, I should say. So I think that by default now, we're expecting it. They're providing it. And I'm like you, I'm kind of over those two initials, but it's driving everything at the moment and driving a whole lot of people to distraction. But there are some incredible, you know, things that they've announced, which are mostly free. Things that we will use because they do help our lives. But my concern is, and I've written a lot about this over the past month or so, I've got some other articles and quite a long, long piece, much longer than this.
Yeah, yeah.
My concern with this is that we will stop thinking in the way we did before. I'm not talking stop thinking full stop. I'm talking about stop thinking in the way we did before, which was that for most of us, even when we were using the old search engines, we knew that it was a dot, dot, dot. There was something to follow. We had to make a little bit of a choice. We had to pick on this or decide this was more important. And that's what search engines have taught us. Whereas before, it was about us going into books. It was about us knowing something, asking your uncle, listening to Phil, getting information from somewhere, making your own mind up.
Yep.
Search engines kind of shortcutted that because it says, yeah, Phil's still great information, can't get better. But there's other things you can do as well. Here's a couple of choices. Have a look through them. In this new world, it's literally top of the crease, which we know is where most people will stop.
Yeah.
Here is what you need to know. End of story. And if that becomes all that we need to know, I'm really worried, not worried, but concerned. I lament the fact that that might be what happens, and which is why I want to actively talk about it and get us, especially our wonderful listeners, thinking a little bit broader than just that one screen of information.
There's one thing that I think might bug people, and I wonder if they've done anything about that. When you put in a conventional search, the first two or three will be sponsored.
Yeah, not anymore.
And I thought so, because that is a kind of a pain in the butt sometimes, isn't
it? Yeah, that's going. That's really going, which is fascinating because Google made a lot of money from, will continue to make a lot of money of it. It's not going to disappear. If our listeners go on now, they're going to see it. They're going to see it for another 6 months, another year, 18 months. It'll still be there, but it will not be the first thing that you see anymore. The first thing you see will be Google, because what they want to do actively, this is not a secret, actively what they want to do, as all other companies want to do, is to keep you in the Google hemisphere. They don't want you going out to anybody else. They want you to click on the Google link. They want you to work within all of the bits and pieces they give you because they are a company. They're entitled to. It's not sinister. That's how they make their money, by getting people to come to their front door, knock on the door, come in and be happy and satisfied and stay, and stay for as long as possible.
There is some fun stuff in there. I'm sure that VO isn't lost on you. I think you'd probably like that. Tell us more.
So in no particular order, these are some of the things that they announced at this. One of the major one was what they call Project Astra.
Oh, yeah.
It's a new real-time multisensory AI assistant. So it's kind of like the thing that if you use Google, you know, Hey Google, or do any of that, this is it on steroids. What it's doing is, with your permission, because you've installed it, you've allowed it on your Android device or on your smart tablet or whatever else you have, It listens to your voice, it looks at your environment, it remembers your context, it works on mobiles, on wearable devices. In other words, this sounds like a long list of ordinary stuff, but even a year ago, 2 years ago, Phil, this was difficult because a piece of infrastructure really only worked on a mobile or worked on your watch or worked on something else.
Yes.
It didn't really seamlessly go from one to the other to the other without you knowing it. And this does. It goes from one to the other to the other, and it takes all the information of whatever it is you've given it from whatever device, walking around with your Fitbit or whatever else, all of that, and put it together. What it's doing is it's actually preempting what you want. So it's a constantly present, as I've described it there, it's a constantly present second brain. When you can't remember, it can, and it will give you the information. It'll help to top up what you need or what you're thinking or where you've been.
I can feel my gills growing, Maurice. We always talk about that.
Yeah. You know, Gemini AI, which is the word that, you know, Gemini is their brand that across all of their products. It helps you to do AI. It runs in Gmail, in Docs, in Sheets, in Slides, in Meet, and all the rest of it. It now, without you asking, you can click the box, but without you asking, because it's trying to assist you, when you get an email in, it gives you a few words at the top that you can click on that might be the response you want to do, so you don't have to worry about typing it.
Okay.
And when you go into a into a Docs document or a Sheets document, it does the same thing. So it's trying to work alongside of you to figure out what you want, take you to the right spot, help you to figure out what the next word should be, save something, preempt, you know, a little bit down the road ahead of you, so that when you're ready, it can be there waiting for you.
Okay, already, I mean, let's bring in a human element here, because already, if somebody sends you a pitch or an idea, or and they've done it on a chatbot, you can pretty much tell from the vocabulary that that's exactly what they've done. So people will get tired of that, won't they? So surely they have to humanize a little.
I would say that was true of about 6 months ago. It is now becoming increasingly difficult to tell the difference between the two.
Still, it's kind of wordy. You have to think, if you know the person, would this person use that kind of vocabulary? Sneaky, beaky stuff like that. But it's
And that's why I think it's 6 months old. And 6 months is a lifetime. It's literally the generation.
Sure.
Because people are getting better at using it, and also the systems themselves are getting better. So it's getting much better at understanding how Phil writes as against how I write, as against how one of our listeners writes. So I'm not disagreeing with you. And I think actually it will be a bad thing when we can't figure out that it's not Phil or Maurice writing it. I think that's a bad thing we might be heading into. But I would argue that, in fact, now, with a lot of the programs, with a lot of the materials we know, and the fact that people are getting better at it, it is increasingly difficult to know that it was written by AI. And that, I'm not sure, is a good thing or not. We'll have to decide for ourselves.
Well, it's good for AI, isn't it? Because it proves that it's learning things. And because really, sometimes now, you know what I'm talking about. You're like, it's a bit florid. You know, that's...
Yeah, it is. But we can tame it back. So that's something that we will see become more ordinary, especially when we start to use it across our devices, when it knows how we talk, when it knows how we answer. And I'm hoping lots of listeners will be, you know, sitting there fuming because this is a step too far, and I'm agreeing with you. But what I'm asking for is a mindful march into the future, that this is part of a lot of the programs we use. We don't have to use them this way, but this is increasingly defaulted them. We can change default to be something else, but I'm not so much worried about us changing to default. I just want to be really mindful that we have the opportunity at every point to write our own sentence, to finish that, to find that, to do that. We don't have to follow like a lamb across these things, and that's what I'm worried about, that we will just follow blindly into this night, and we shouldn't.
Well, that's what some of us do. I mean, some people are hardwired that way, aren't they?
Yeah, and there's perfect times for that, perfect times for doing that. Sometimes that's all you need, and that's great. But again, it should be a conscious decision that we're doing that. Mm. When you go into something like their new photo gallery, which is called Ask Photos, I mean, I love these bits and pieces it can do. So you've got all your photos up, you've taken photos of the kids and the dogs and where you've been and where you've eaten. You can actually ask for something in that photo. So yeah. Where did I have Yum Chow last week? In the photos, and it'll actually bring up the photo of where you had, I'm assuming you took one, yeah? So if you've taken the photo of Yum Chow, it'll actually bring that up and tell you where the address was and whatever other information you've tagged onto that. And that's Ask Photos.
Well, another thing that we've talked about, I think, ever since the beginning of something like Facebook, I mean, we've joked around saying it's not the people very often in the forefront, the focus of a photo, it's the little stuff going on in the background. Yeah, he wasn't meant to be there, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I love that. And I have people in my family that have a sport in that, you know, do that thing with the finger and the thumb to make it larger so you can see in the background and look for what wasn't meant to be there or figure out what they're wearing or something else.
Well, look, I'll tell you what, I mean, we've got one more minute left and there is tons to talk about. Check it out. MorrisFuturist.com. You can read the whole shebang and ask your questions then. VO Morris, that looks like fun.
Yeah, it is. So we're getting a lot more of these, but VO is a Google's new AI video model. And what you can do is you can go in there, you type in what you want, or there's lots of ways you can enter information, but you don't have to be a film producer. You have to tell it a lot. But what you get at the other end, depending on how you prompt it, is really high-quality cinematic footage. It's quite incredible. I haven't been able to master it yet. I hope I will be able
to. You will. You're going to be all over that.
Yeah, yeah. So, but some of the stuff I've seen people putting out is literally easy to create once you've got the hang of it. Again, I want to see Phil on the ferry, you know, having a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden a speedboat comes by and splashes him. Literally something like that. And then give it a minute, and you'll literally see something cinematic like Steven Spielberg come out, and it is that movie. It's quite incredible. It's called VO.
Well, thanks for that, Morris. A little sort of potted what's going on thing. I mean, we're way past the point of no return now. And just to think, when we started talking about AI, it was, remind me, a year and a bit ago?
In November to a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when it came to market.
Right. Take care, Morris. Lovely talking to you. We'll do it again next week. Live from St. Kilda. Always fun to talk to Morris. And some of that stuff is kind of scary sounding.